Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day, despite the fact that many Americans remain greatly worried about the future and the security and the safety of our democratic system. And it's not just the very, very great focus, intense focus we've had the last couple of weeks on the anniversary of January 6th. We have been going through, since September 11th, which was a vastly, vastly more serious assault, we've been going through a whole period of great concern about terrorism. How are we doing? There's actually some surprising good news. You can read about that good news in the work of Daniel Bieman, who is a senior fellow at the Center for Middle East Policy at Brookings Institution, where his research focuses on counterterrorism and Middle East security. He previously served as the research director for the center. He's a professor at Georgetown University at the School of Foreign Policy, Foreign Service Security Studies Program, and previously he served as a staff member with the 9/11 Commission, the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks on the United States, and the joint 9/11 inquiry of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Now, all that background should give people some sense of the authority with which you write. And what you suggest, and I think people need to hear it, is that in what we have called the War on Terror, there has actually been some real progress and some reality in terms of reducing danger. Am I reading you correctly?
Absolutely. One thing that's always worth doing is simply looking at the numbers of people who die from terrorism. And a lot, of course, is going to depend on specific definitions. But this last year in particular, actually, we didn't see jihadist attacks in the United States. And to my surprise, we also didn't see large-scale white supremacist attacks. And this contrasts very strongly with previous years where we saw some horrific attacks. So it's worth celebrating some of the real progress.
Okay, this is what's particularly fascinating. And you bring up, I mean, we had an attack at a Walmart store which was inspired by white supremacism that killed, what, 22, 23 people. We had a white supremacist attack on a synagogue in Pittsburgh that killed 11 people. But all of that before 2021. What do you think caused the reduction in white supremacist violence in 2021?
So whenever we talk about specific numbers, it's always worth pointing out there is a random factor. You know, some, you know, evil idiot tomorrow could pick up a gun and shoot people and change all this. But a couple of things did change pretty dramatically when Joe Biden came in. One is that his administration really prioritized going after white supremacists and anti-government extremist terrorism. They began to treat it very seriously in multiple government agencies. And, of course, you had a massive investigation and set of prosecutions related to the storming of the U.S. Capitol a year ago. And that had spin-off effects where a number of the organizations involved were also linked to anti-government violence. In addition, a lot of the people on the white supremacist side are pretty disorganized. And they disagree with one another. They're often say stupid things on social media that lead to their detection and arrest. And I think something that's very important for everyone to know is when they do use violence, it usually backfires on their cause. There may be people who are anti-immigrant, who are racist, who are otherwise sympathetic to some of what they preach, but the vast majority of even those people don't like to see bloodshed. So I think there is worth pointing out that there has been some progress in the last few years.
Okay, and when you point out that it is counterproductive to their cause, there is still a cause out there, and there are a lot of Americans, significant percentage, some people say it could be a quarter to 40% of Americans, who believe that the last election was stolen. Do you think that there is any belief anywhere that any kind of violence against people or property or mass demonstrations are going to change that?
So, unfortunately, that belief is pretty well embedded. And what makes the January 6th violence different, what makes that anti, you know, the sense of Joe Biden being legitimate different, is that it's being promulgated by a former president of the United States, Donald Trump, and pushed by a number of very prominent media voices. And so this is not something that you have kind of crazy corners of the world where people on the internet who, you know, don't see the light of day are conspiring. This is something that's happening in broad daylight. And so it's very hard to push back on. And what we would see in a normal political world is conservative leaders pushing back on the craziness at the extreme, just as I would expect liberal leaders to do the same in their extremes. But unfortunately, these ideas are being aired by many prominent voices.
What about when you talk about these prominent voices? There's a very prominent voice that's been fairly supportive of some of those claims. Ted Cruz recently called the January 6th rioters terrorists. I mean, you work in the terrorism field. Do you think that's accurate in any sense?
So I'll put my professor hat on, and with that on, we wouldn't use the terrorism term usually, because we think of terrorism as trying to send a broader psychological message, as opposed to on January 6th, where they had a very specific goal, which is to stop the ratification of Biden's electoral victory and disrupt the process. But here I'm really nitpicking. What I think Senator Cruz was saying before he you know, quickly backtracked, was that this was illegitimate political violence. This is something that should not be tolerated. And there I agree very strongly with that statement.
Well, what about, are you concerned, because you've been monitoring this for more than 20 years, Dr. Bynum, is that right? Okay. So, given the fact that you've been involved with this so long, what do you say about the new belief by more and more Americans that violence, according to pollsters, might be justified to achieve political ends? There's a substantial number of Americans, some polls say over half, who believe that.
That's very frightening to me. If we go back, you know, over 20 years ago to 9/11 itself, one thing we all remember is the sheer huge number of people who died, the horrific devastation. But it was also a time when our country came together, when violence really brought Republicans and Democrats and really everyone together in a very, you know, I look back on that as very warmly, even though it was a time of tragedy. But when you have the sense that violence is necessary for politics, this divides us. And it creates a very dangerous cycle where violence by some actors legitimates violence by others. It you have rumors and fear being spread about the other side. And this is striking very much at our institutions, at the core of our democracy, at the basic trust we need to function. So I'm tremendously concerned about this for very different reasons than why I was concerned after 9/11.
What about, we had Stephen Marsh on yesterday, who's a Canadian writer who believes we are right on the verge of a real civil war and believes it's too late to avoid it. Do you share any of that fear for an immediate, basically, breakup of civic peace? We will get to that right after the break. I have the honor of speaking to Daniel Bynum, who has served our country in the war on terror, and to some extent in terms of terror, Islamic terror as well as domestic terror, we seem to have made progress. What's the very heart of that progress and necessary for it to continue and to expand? We will get to that and more coming up with Daniel Bynum.
The Michael Medved Show. All across America. This is The Michael Medved Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Daniel Byman, who is a senior fellow in the Center for Middle East Policy at Brookings Institution, who was a member of the 9/11 Commission. I have become aware of his recent work because of a fine piece he wrote in the Washington Post He has also served on not just the 9/11 Commission, on the Joint 9/11 Inquiry Staff for the House and the Senate Intelligence Committees. One of the points that people have made criticizing the current investigation that is ongoing about everything that went wrong and all of the misdeeds and all the criminal activities that were involved in the January 6th event has a criticism that Kimberly Strassel made today in a column in the Wall Street Journal, that unlike the 9/11 Commission, they have not focused on what needs to be done differently to avoid a repetition of this. That what they have focused on is trying to establish culpability for Trump and the Trump administration. Do you believe that is a fair statement for the way that the committee looking at this and the various government agencies looking at what happened on January 6th, it's a fair criticism that they ought to pay attention to going forward, talking more about avoidance of future events than going over again and again and again what happened?
So I would say a little bit of both. What you wanted and what was very important with the 9/11 Commission was establishing a definitive record of what happened. And for January 6th, that's vital because this was a fundamental assault on democracy. And especially if it involved not just a mob that got out of control, but senior leaders, including perhaps the former president of the United States. That's extremely important to establish. However, I would add that it's not an either-or choice. You can do that, and you can say, here's how we think about the future. Here's how we protect democracy from assaults by the mob. Here's how we try to ensure that every vote procedure goes forward without violent intimidation. So my hope is that they gather the evidence necessary to make judgments about the culpability of different political figures, and at the same time are able to make recommendations for reducing the likelihood of this happening again.
In terms of reducing that likelihood, I mean, there are obviously things that they can do to better prepare access to the National Guard and to better prepare the Capitol Hill police and the Metropolitan D.C. police. But there's also the question of a source of violence. I know that we have heard many reports going back to the Obama administration that we were more at risk, according to some analysis, from white supremacist or right-wing extremist violence domestically than from jihadist violence domestically. Do you think that was, number one, true? Is it still true? Or does recent success indicate we've made progress on both fronts?
So I think we've made progress on both fronts, but what I would point out is that a lot of the success against jihadist terrorism took a lot of time and took a lot of work. There are, you know, massive entities in the U.S. government often cooperating with partners abroad to keep the jihadist threat to the U.S. homeland limited. And there still is some threat, even though I think it's been reduced. And you need a similar extensive effort to go after the anti-government and white supremacist violence. And we saw this in 2018 with the Tree of Life shooting in Pittsburgh, in 2019 with the El Paso killing that killed 22 people, that this can be extremely lethal. And it's going to require not just efforts at the federal level, but a lot of state and local work, because often it's the county sheriff or the local police department that knows the most and is the most important figure in this. And this is a big shift. Part of the surprise for many people on January 6th, including for me, law enforcement, was they thought, you know, a group of white people supporting the president, they're going to be supportive of law and order. And obviously that turned out to be a disastrously foolish assumption. And I'm hoping that people's eyes are open, that this group of extremists, like every other group of extremists, can be very dangerous and needs to be monitored for violent behavior and stopped when there's a risk of danger of an attack.
Are there any First Amendment concerns that people could bring up that would be legitimate that you can't outlaw ideas or expression of ideas concerning even some of the most noxious, racist, white supremacist, hate-filled, xenophobic kinds of ideologies.
That's certainly the U.S. system, right, which is that you or I or any American has the right to say some truly disgusting things. But, of course, when you go from general statements to incitement of specific violence, when you organize for violence, when you plan violence, all that is very different. And a lot of what these white supremacist and anti-government organizations are doing is that sort of preparation. And that can be stopped and should be stopped, and some of that can be done through at the federal level, but a lot of it is violations of firearms laws or illicit financing that many of these organizations are using. So certainly we're going to see a lot of very nasty rhetoric, and that's going to continue, and that's the American system. But that doesn't necessarily have to translate into successful use of violence.
Any way to use governmental power to diminish the dissemination of white supremacist ideology in social media, or do you just leave that to Facebook and Twitter?
I think the First Amendment is going to stop the government from banning, you know, really any type of domestic discourse, even, you know, very racist or anti-government stuff. But the social media companies themselves should be encouraged to take action. They're private entities, and they can move very quickly and move very decisively. They did so with some degree of success against jihadist organizations. It's far harder for groups like ISIS to operate on things like YouTube or Twitter than it was a decade ago. And it's a little more complex for white supremacists, but a lot more can be done. And these companies have taken some steps in the right direction, but they have a lot more to do.
On the terror front, and I think this is our last question, what's the biggest threat that we have in this new year, 2022?
So my biggest concern is that mix of elite encouragement of individuals to act that, as you were talking about earlier, that people are considering the system to be illegitimate, and that people are going to say that particular political leaders or maybe, you know, all Democrats or all elected officials are complicit and therefore deserve to be killed, and we're going to see individuals act upon it. So I worry about kind of bottom-up violence encouraged by political leaders, and I really hope that we can kind of move away from this extreme discourse we're seeing in this country.
That should be a prayer for all of us, and I appreciate your contribution to it. That said, Daniel Beiman, we're going to post his most recent column from the Washington Post at our website at michaelmedved.com. Coming up just a little while, there's a big new movie about glamorous super agents, female James Bonds, played by Jessica Chastain and Diane Kruger and Lupita Nyong'o and Penelope Cruz. Wow. So what do they come up with?
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Another day, another huge batch of flight delays and cancellations. Travelers can't seem to catch a break as the number of flights affected has surpassed 5,600. Airports along the East Coast are bearing the brunt of the problem as snow moved through the area. The Supreme Court heard arguments that challenged the legality of President Biden's federal vaccine mandate. Several justices have defended the requirement, saying there's not a better option to prevent sickness and death with COVID-19 cases still on the rise. Attorney Scott Keller arguing the best possible way to prevent illness would actually be quite different.
I don't think the standard here can be the best, because if it was the best, then that would mean that OSHA could ban all people from coming into the workplace.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
On the Michael Medved Show, what a great time coming into the weekend to sign up right away, pay your 22 cents, and yes, it's 22 cents a day, but that's all it is, to become a MedHead Plus member. Because if you have some time over the weekend and you want to uplift, educate, enlighten, deepen your understanding of the history of this great and glorious country, and every weekend is a great time to do that, you can do that as a MedHead Plus member. Just go directly to MedHead Plus. You get free access then to downloading any of our MedVet history programs, including the entire series on the American Revolution. You wouldn't download it all at once, but you go through basically, it was a very long war, the Revolutionary War. It could be, it was 8 years till the full formal ending. And there's so much to inspire and to learn, and you will enjoy it in the process. Check it out. Go to michaelmedved.com or go to medvedhistorystore.com and sign up as a member of the MedHead Plus program. One of the things that sometimes fascinates me is the interaction of history as we live it and the way it interacts with and is sometimes reflected by the entertainment industry. And literally, just the other day, I was saying that once upon a time, there was a big hit movie starring Sidney Poitier, may he rest in peace, called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It was a 1967 film directed by Stanley Kramer, and it was about an intermarried couple. And what's fascinating to me is that was considered a controversial film at the time, because America had just passed that the Loving case, which was at the same time that eliminated laws that used to be on the books in 16 states, where it was illegal. You get arrested for marrying somebody of a different race, which is almost unthinkable that that could be the case in the United States, and look how far we've come. But what's interesting now is when you go back and look at Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and Sidney Poitier was the first black actor to win a Best Actor award. They had Hattie McDaniel, who had won Best Supporting Actress for her role in Gone with the Wind. But Sidney Poitier, first Oscar winner for Best Actor, that was for a wonderful movie. And by the way, very pro-Catholic movie about nuns in the desert. And in any event, that was called Lilies of the Field, his Oscar-winning role. And here is what a scene sounded like. And think about how different this is from the tone of what we tend to hear these days. This is Sidney Poitier as John Prentice, who was speaking to his father about the issue of race and about his pending interracial marriage. That's clip 18.
You don't even know what I am, Dad. You don't know who I am. You don't know how I feel, what I think. And if I try to explain it the rest of your life, you will never understand. Dad. You're my father. I'm your son. I love you. I always have, and I always will. But you think of yourself as a colored man. I think of myself as a man.
What's so fascinating about that is that was considered the height of enlightenment in 1967. And now we're at a point where the entire critical race theory says would be the opposite. Somebody would have to say, but you think of yourself as a man. I think of myself as a black man. Of course, you'd never say colored. But that's the basic argument about critical race theory, is they want to say that it is more important to emphasize rather than de-emphasize your racial identity. But that's a particular fight I think they are losing, especially in the face of the business partnerships, the basically the American life growing so dramatically in a less racially conscious and race-obsessed situation. There are all kinds of obsessions. Okay, one of the obsessions that I find fascinating, and yes, I guess I share it to some extent, is trying to figure out if President Trump had 189 minutes between the time he finally put out that video asking the rioters to go home and the time he heard about them breaching the Capitol building. So you're talking about more than 3 hours, and the president didn't do anything to respond that we know of to the riot that was going on. And here's something that I didn't know, and maybe you didn't either. I suspect you probably didn't, which is that the president did several takes of the video that he sent out that finally put an end to the riot. And the committee, the January 6th committee that is working on Capitol Hill right now, the committee is trying to obtain unreleased takes of Mr. Trump's January 6th video in which he told rioters hours into the violence to go home, but also insisted that the election was stolen and fraudulent. We love you and you're very special, he said to the rioters in the clip that was ultimately released. Witnesses, however, have told investigators that Mr. Trump recorded several other takes of the video in which he did not tell the crowd to leave, takes that were never shown to the public. Mr. Thompson, that's Benny Thompson, chairman of the committee, said these takes could shed light on his mindset at the time. We need to know, as a committee, why did it take so long as this riot was going on at the Capitol for you to say stop, Mr. Thompson said of Mr. Trump. Again, doesn't it sound fascinating to see how one of those presidential videos, and this has got to be one of the most famous or possibly one of the most infamous examples of a presidential video to come out. I do think that that is fascinating, and I suspect that they have a right to go at it. Speaking of going at it, today there were oral arguments at the Supreme Court, and as a big fan of the Supreme Court and of most of the justices, because we have exceptional people in the court, this was not the most stunning and positive or impressive moment, because none of the justices appeared to be particularly up to date with what is going on with the COVID virus and also with the vaccines. They're very much at issue. Basically, what the court is being asked to determine is, can President Biden, without the cooperation of necessarily Congress or states, can he simply use federal power through the Medicare and Medicaid Administration and through OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, can he use that power and those agencies to basically compel private companies to impose mandates? It'll be months before they decide, but it is a fascinating and obviously very important argument. Coming up, three movies. One of them, pretty good. We'll tell you which one, coming up on the MedVet Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
And on the Michael Medved show, looking forward maybe to a little bit of a break in the very cold and very wet weather we've been having in the Pacific Northwest, but at least it's not snowed in. Well, I guess it is snowed in if you're trying to go over any of the passes in Washington State. That's something. But even with that break, we have a brand new year and maybe new reason to... Oh, make the best of it in terms of the use of our time, our activity, the time given to our families and things that mean something. Do movies mean anything in that regard? Well, every once in a while, and there's a film like that this week, so fanfare please from Hollywood. Okay, it's really from Hollywood and France at the same time, because this is a remake of a French film. They've moved the setting from the countryside in France and a dairy farming family and moved it to Gloucester, Massachusetts, which is has a flourishing fishing industry, and there's a family that is the center of the film, Coda, which fishes professionally, and it's a mother and it's a father, and it's an older son and a younger daughter, and everyone except for the younger daughter is deaf in this family. And this is based on a film about a French farming family with the same situation. Now, this is not a true story, but the I think one of the best things you can say about CODA, which is an acronym for the Children of Deaf Adults, that one of the best things you can say about the film is it feels like a true story. It's about this young lady, the only member of the family who is hearing, and she is in high school, her senior year, and she realizes that she loves to sing. She sings in a choir. She now is hoping she can get a scholarship to a music school near Boston, actually in Boston, the Berklee School of Music, same School of Music, by the way, that was celebrated, or at least meant to be celebrated, in Whiplash, the film. But the problem is that if she goes away to Boston, she will leave her family without its one speaking member. And by the way, one of the remarkable things, the deaf cast, all the people who are supposed to be deaf really are. And the performances are remarkable. Marley Matlin, who won an Oscar at age 21 for Children of a Lesser God, plays the mother. And a wonderful newcomer named Amelia Jones plays the singing daughter. Listen.
You're the girl with a deaf family?
Yeah.
And you sing. Interesting.
I want to do this.
There are plenty of pretty voices with nothing to say. Do you have something to say? I can help you get a scholarship.
I've never done anything without my family before.
Okay, this is about family. It is about compassion. It is living in different worlds. The father and the mother, again, that played by Marley Matlin, are wonderful. The film is in some ways a standard coming-of-age movie, somebody trying to figure out what she wants to do after high school to get into college. But this special situation, even though it all works out very neatly, it's completely compelling, and it's actually a joy to watch. Coda, it is rated PG-13 because this family may be hearing impaired. I mean, they're deaf, most of its members, but especially the members who are not are a lusty, loving family. And there's some references to that for the PG-13 rating. 3 stars for Coda. A very different movie is called The 355. It's probably the biggest release. Coda, by the way, is streaming on Apple TV Plus, so it's easy to see. And the 355, or the 355, is a new film opening in theaters. And what a cast! If you hear a film that has a cast of some of the most glamorous and accomplished actresses in the world, including Jessica Chastain and Penelope Cruz and Diane Kruger, and there's a Chinese, very popular Chinese megastar called Fan Bingbing, who's also very glamorous, and then Lupita Nyong'o, who won an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave. What do they all have in common? Nothing, except that they're all secret agents for various governments. Colombia and Germany and Britain for Lupita Nyong'o, and they have to get together, working under the guidance of the CIA, to try to grab a thingamajig, a new contraption that terrorists are going to use to start World War III and knock planes out of the sky. Does this sound like a typical Bondian premise? How many times have you seen movies about a desperate attempt to stop some device from going to evil madmen? Well, and yes, there are a number of close, just as Jeremy did, close, well-timed things where you have to be right in there. And they travel all around the world, and they go to Marrakesh, Morocco, and they're in Paris, big scenes in Paris and all over the world, and in Shanghai, bid for the Chinese market. And all of the mayhem sounds like this.
We're the top agents from around the world.
Now we have a common enemy.
They can start World War III from simple reach of their keyboard.
So we need to join forces.
We put ourselves in danger so that others are not.
We're not going in there alone.
We go together.
I like the new team.
We're the 355.
Okay, the 355 is apparently a reference to an alleged unidentified female spy who worked for George Washington. That may actually be true. Nothing else in the movie is true. Nothing else in the movie is believable. These stars are sympathetic. They're very beautiful. The wardrobes are great. But again, you have Jessica Chastain, who's such a wonderful actress. And why does she want to keep coming back to roles where she's beaten up? And basically, none of the very intense action scenes that should have gotten it an R rating, it is actually rated only PG-13. But, I mean, there's stabbing and facial mutilation, and it's rough stuff. And not particularly entertaining stuff either. 2 stars for the 355. So what does that make it, the 357? This is not a film that I think is going to satisfy many people. But then again, it's very different from American Siege. That is a film, it's an independent film with Bruce Willis, with a director named Blake, who he's worked with on many of his recent films. He plays an aging and maybe corrupt sheriff in a small Georgia town who has to preside over a standoff at a drug den in this Georgia town where they're doing some unspeakable things in the lab. And it's taken over by a crime family that wants to get revenge. And then the FBI is on the scene, plus local law enforcement, and they're all shooting at one another. And is it well staged? It actually is pretty well staged, but it sounds like this.
Dr. Keats means a great deal to this town.
Kyle's inside now.
He sent my only son in there to deal with them. We don't have time for games. Get my son. Kill the rest.
A bloodbath won't do anything.
A bloodbath won't do anything. It's not going to do anything for Bruce Willis's career, which is not exactly in orbit. But this is one of those films where it's a ridiculous plot of very unhappy and long-suffering people. And all of the performances, including the one by Bruce Willis, are better than you would expect, or certainly better than this material deserves. No, I did not give them that quote that the performances are better than it deserves. But that's the truth. It is rated R. There is extraordinarily persistent brutality and a big, big body count. 2 stars, rated R for American Siege. Closing thought from Peggy Noonan's new column. God is in charge of history. He asks us to work, to try, to pour ourselves out, to make things better. But he is an actor in history also. He chastises and rescues. He intervenes in ways seen and unseen. Or chooses not to. Something to keep in mind about this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.